Thank you, Miss Diane. Take your Bibles with me this morning, and let's go first to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, but while you're turning there, find your place there. Also, take an opportunity to go to Genesis 45 as well. Stick something in there, as we will be heading to Genesis 45 in just a moment. Galatians chapter 4. We've come to the time of year, the season of Christmas, that some of you, I think, would like to start in July if you could get away with it. But we've finally gotten through Thanksgiving, and now it's on to the Christmas season and Christmas movies and everything, Christmas music on the radio. I have heard it's going to be a wonderful Christmas time. My limit this year already. I'm tired of that song. I would prefer much other songs already. As we get to this time of year, it's really a joyful time, and we make a real big deal of it, but I'm afraid for some, it's a very confused time. For some, they don't know what they're celebrating, and they can give you the answers and give you the stories and different things, but their lives show a pattern of something else. It's running to one party. It's running to one thing, and to one obligation after another. And it seems like we got to have this here and got that. And Christmas just becomes this confusion. Plus our Christmas list, who we got to buy for, the pecan pies you need to make for the pastor, all those types of things that just go on during the Christmas time. It seems like our list just continue to grow, and then Christmas Day arrives, and we got Christmas over here, we got Christmas over there, we got Christmas in different states, we got Christmas, and it's just all over the place. But as we come to this time of year, I want us to focus maybe in a little bit of a different direction. I want us to focus on thinking about Christmas as a mission. Christmas as a mission, and the sermon series here for December for us is going to be called Heaven Sent. Heaven Sent. And as we come to this time of year, I want us to really focus on the meaning of Christmas in a way of understanding what God was doing. You see, even as Christians, we can get to different mentalities. And, there's a growing sentiment about Christmas Advent, in Advent calendars and different things that we can have to help explain the meanings and different things. And Advent really helps to build an expectation of expecting the baby to come and, building your expectation, that excitement. And, it's just like a little kid when December would roll around, it didn't matter what the teachers taught anymore. It was, let's get to Christmas break. Let's get to Christmas Eve. Let's get to Christmas morning. And there is an anticipation. There's an expectation of all these things that were going to happen. I remember as I would come down the stairs Christmas morning and just to see the spread that my parents, they gave me the same story. I just don't know if we're going to have a good Christmas this year. It's just been tough, and I never saw any presents around. And then you come down the stairs Christmas morning, and there is this huge stash, of stuff. A G.I. Joe aircraft carrier when you're just sitting there. It's just all the excitement. And you tear into everything, and then by 12 noon on Christmas Day, it's like all the excitement's gone. You've played with all your toys, and now you're over in a corner with the box. All right? Playing with the boxes. But, if we see Christmas as a mission, it'll go beyond just the excitement of expectation. It will move towards life change that can be permanent. And I want us to think about Christmas as a mission. I want you to look here in Galatians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 4 through 7 for us this morning. This is kind of the basis here in verse 4 of this idea of heaven sent. In verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. In verse 4, so when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. This Christmas is a mission because it was God sending us His Son. We are good about celebrating Christmas and remembering the baby, but remember that this Christmas only has meaning because there's a cross coming at Easter. It only has meaning because this baby was sent to die for us, to be the payment for our sins. And we love the beautiful picture of this innocent child that was coming. But yes, this innocent child is going to be the innocent, spotless Lamb of God that was going to hang from a cruel cross to pay the price for our sins. Christmas is a mission. And God sent His Son. I love this word sent here in verse 4. The word sent here is the Greek word apostello. It's where we kind of get the term apostle. And it means to send forth with authority. To send forth with a purpose. With a mission. It's kind of the idea of to dispatch and to send them forth. So God just didn't, just say, well, let's try this or try that. No, this was a very intentional thing at the fullness of time, when the time was right in God's plan and His perfect idea. He sent forth His Son intentionally on a mission for us. Why? So He can redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive the adoptions as sons. Christmas is a mission. And this morning, as we think about this, I want us to see this idea of sent in an Old Testament picture. There's a wonderful picture for us. And let's go to Genesis chapter 45. Because this morning, we're going to see this sent as being to preserve life. To preserve life. God sent forth His Son. This Christmas mission has a purpose to preserve life. And here in the Old Testament, we get a foreshadowing of God's missional idea. In Genesis chapter 45, there's a lot of background that goes to the story here. We're picking up really towards the end. This is kind of the climax of this story of Joseph. And if you don't know the story of Joseph, Joseph was, the youngest child of all these brothers. He was the baby of the family. And babies are the family are just the perfect ones, right? In fact, I left my coat of many colors at home today, but I remind my brothers of that all the time, that I have a coat of many colors that my dad gave to me, which is what Joseph had. He had the coat of many colors. He was seen as this promised child, and he was seen as this one. He was the dreamer who came to his brothers, all his older brothers, and said, listen, I had this dream, and in this dream, you bowed down to me. That's always a popular thing for the younger brother to tell the older brothers about. Well, mom and dad did this for me. Did they do that for you? Those types of things. He said that you're all going to bow down and worship me. And he tells them this dream, and it gets just in their minds. And you see this hatred build up, and they're like, we want to kill this guy. You know what? There's a bunch of us here. If we got rid of Joseph, no one would really notice, right? And so they were thinking about killing him, but then kind of they backed off of that and said, he's in this pit here. Why don't we just sell him into slavery? So Joseph is sold into slavery at a young age, and he's sold into the house of Potiphar. And he comes down into Egypt, and here he is a servant. Can you imagine a young guy, a teenager, coming into a house being sold as a slave? Your family has just thrown you out there. They have sold you. They have gotten rid of you. Some of you said, I wish I could have sold my siblings growing up. They have gotten rid of him, and now he is a servant when he was Joseph with the coat of many colors. And he's a servant in Potiphar's house, and you know what? He works, and he works hard for Potiphar, so much so that he becomes trusted in Potiphar's house. He is the first in command, and Potiphar trusts him with everything in his house except for his wife. And then we know the story of Potiphar's wife as she comes in and tries to tempt Joseph to lie with her. And Joseph says, no, I'm not going to do this great wickedness and sin against God. He leaves his coat, he flees, he gets out of there. And what happens? Because he did what was right, he was put into jail on a lie of Potiphar's wife. Now, can you imagine him sitting in jail? Why am I here? I was Joseph with the coat of many colors. I had the dream of all my brothers worshiping me. Why am I here? But Joseph works. Even in the prison, he becomes elevated in the prison. And then we see him become a interpreter of dreams for Pharaoh, and he gets exalted in the nation of Egypt. I mean, we're condensing a lot of the story to get to here. He's now a prince of Egypt. He is one of the highest in the land. There's so much rule under him. And there's a famine that's sweeping the area. And that's when Jacob, Joseph's father, sends his brothers, Joseph's brothers, down to Egypt in search of food. There's a famine. They're searching for food. And now here they come into Joseph's court. By now, a young man, they wouldn't have recognized him. Their thoughts of Joseph are long gone. They've grieved. They have already put him out of their mind, and they're standing in Joseph's court, and they have no recognition of who it is. Oh, isn't this a greatest revenge opportunity? You know, this is you waiting in the bushes for your siblings to come home and ambushing them, you know, type thing. Can't you imagine Joseph's just ready and chomping at the bit? Oh, you're coming to me now. Okay, here we go. And that's where we see Genesis chapter 45. Let's look here in verse number 1. It says, then Joseph, he could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now here's the grand reveal. Joseph's brothers are standing there before him, and he can't take it any longer. He makes all his servants, all of those in the house, to go out except for him and his brothers. And there he's crying, he's weeping. The brothers are like, I don't know what is happening here, but something just turned for the worse. And Joseph says, I am Joseph. Can you imagine the look on those boys' faces? Can you imagine the color that drains from him? Can you imagine the knees that began to get a little weak? You know, this is the one that we just sold into slavery, and this is the one that we had tried to get rid of, and now we are begging for food from him. Our life is in his hands. And Joseph says, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? They don't know what to say. They don't know how to respond, and then to comfort them, we see what Joseph begins to show us. And this is a direction, and this is a mentality that folks, this is not natural. Because our natural inclination would be to take out our revenge on them. you know what, last Christmas they didn't spend but $10 on me, so this Christmas I'm not going to spend more than $10 on them. That's our natural inclination. Hey, they sold me into slavery, and now they're standing before me. I'm here, a prince of Egypt, and they want food. And what does he say? Don't be angry. Don't be distressed. You sold me into slavery, but God sent me. God sent me. This word here for sent in the Hebrew, when they translated the Hebrew into Greek, they used the word apostello for this word. This was an understanding. Joseph knew that this was a mission from God. He understood that God had purposefully put him there in Egypt for this moment to save his family, to save his brothers and his mom and his dad. There we see him in this position, understanding that God is doing something greater here. This was a mission, and he was sent for the preservation of life. In this, Joseph gives us three ideas about the preservation of life. Number one, we see that it promotes a divine mission. It promotes a divine mission. We saw it in the verses. Look at the repetition of these words, God sent, in verse 5. And now do not be dismayed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. In verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth. And in verse 8, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. In these three verses, this repetition, this is an emphasis of Joseph that he's saying that God sent me here. This was a divine moment. This wasn't happen chance. This wasn't the fact that I have gone through all this heartache and I've gone through all this trial, that I have been sold into slavery, that I have been in jail, that I've been through all this. No, it's that God sent me here. Boy, that's some spiritual maturity. For God sent me here. It promotes a divine mission. God sent. God had dispatched Joseph to be there at that appointed time so that he might provide for the nation of Israel. You see, because this is a key aspect that we're going to see going forward, is this idea of what Joseph is doing here on this divine mission. And when he is repeating this fact, and God sent me, and God sent me, and God sent me, it wasn't you who sent me, it was God who sent me. When he's repeating this, he is referring to the fact that this is the power of God at work. You ever been in the dungeon, in the jail, and thought, you know what, this is the power of God at work? You ever been sold into slavery and thought, well, this is the power of God at work? You ever gone through the trials and gone through the tough times and said, you know what, this is the power of God at work? You see, when we look at this Christmas mission and we understand what is happening here, we want to promote the divine mission and understand that this is the power of God at work. And when Joseph had the opportunity standing here before his brothers to enact revenge and to get back at him, what does he say? I'm not angry with you. God sent me here. There's a divine mission here. This shows the power of God at work. And understand, for us folks, as we look at the Joseph's life, it tells us, you know, we as Christians are not meant for the life of comfort. We're meant for the life of God's mission. And sometimes that's very uncomfortable. Sometimes God puts us in the tough spots, and sometimes God puts us in the midst of lions like we saw last week, so that he can show other people how good he is, so he can use you to allow God to work through you to see something greater on a grander scale. Here we see him say, this is not my power. I know I've gone through all the tough times. I've gone through all these things. But this is a mission of God because he dispatched me. He put me here. When you sold me into slavery, he was the one working to put me here. When this baby comes here at this Christmas time, to think that all that he's going to have to go through, To think that the cross that is waiting before him, the pain, the torture, all of that was going before him. And that's why Christ said, I am here to do my Father's business. He has dispatched me to be here so that I might call the sinners to me and that they might come and know life. That's why he says in John 10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundant. He's promoting a divine mission. The second thing we see is it secures a remnant. As we see here, as he's speaking to them in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for many, many survivors. He's saying, I have secured a remnant. Now the word remnant here is kind of vivid and the mindset, and it kind of gives an idea of a residue of something that's left over. You know, the residues that you try to wash off a greasy skillet or something that's left that you just continue to go, man, there's a remnant of something left over. Now growing up in a house of boys and all of us brothers, we didn't leave many remnants of food and those things. You know, it was the saying was, does anybody else want some? And then whenever that was the key words of, you better speak up now or we're going to lick this bowl clean. There wasn't many remnants left over, but here we see him speaking of a remnant, of a residue. Why is he speaking of that? Because this is a reference back to the promise of Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, when God was making the covenant with Abraham, listen to these words. In verse 1, he says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When God made this covenant with Abraham, there we see that picture of the gospel that through Abraham was going to be the nation that was going to rise up. Through him was going to be the heritage that's going to rise up so that the Lord might send his son. That his son might come to this earth and die for all mankind. So that all could know Christ as their Savior. And this remnant that Joseph is speaking about in verse 45 is the idea of, listen, we are here to preserve you, this remnant, this residue, so that Christ can come down the line, so that there can be salvation for all mankind through Jesus the Messiah. This is the remnant of the promise of the covenant that God was making. When we celebrate Christmas as a mission and we understand what God is doing through this tiny baby, we can understand that God is trying to secure a remnant, a residue of those that would follow Him. It's multiplication. And Joseph is understanding here at this time, God has put me on this mission so that there might be a remnant. And here's where it gets to for us. Folks, if we do not understand that we're trying to secure a remnant, we will die. And there will be no more multiplication. If we don't get it into our mindset and we don't get it into our hearts that we're not just here for us and our comfort, but we're here so that people can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So people across this world could hear the gospel that we want to secure a remnant. That when we're gone, there are people here still taking the gospel. That when we're gone, that there's souls still being saved in Talty Baptist Church. When we're gone, that Talty Baptist Church is still making a missional impact across this world. That is the securing of the remnant, and that is what must be in our hearts, even this Christmas season. Because you know what's going to fight against this is, what am I getting for Christmas? What do I got to get for this person? What do I got to get for that person? What kind of gifts? All these different things. What's on sale here and there? All of this. And that's going to be in our mindsets. And you know what? There's a great joy in gift giving and all these things. But let us take this season also to remember that this Christmas, there is a mission, and it's about securing a remnant of those that get to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why in the month of December, we have our missions in gathering. I remember sitting with Brother Walt over here at Alfredo's and, having some breakfast and talking about it. And he told me about the in-gathering in December and all these different things. And we got to talking about missions, and I loved his heart for missions. And he would talk about Russia and all those different places, and it would just pour out of him. And I want that to be the heartbeat of Talty Baptist Church. And I am praising God that this year our mission giving has increased exponentially compared to last year. And that's the way it should be. And as we look at this missions in-gathering, you know what? We've got a goal of $6,000. Sometimes that looks like tough stuff for this church to do. But I believe if we have the mentality of understanding that this is for an opportunity to see international missions go forward, to see national missions go forward, and not only that, we have the ability to affect a family that is sent from this church that is giving the gospel in Normandy, France, right now, that we can have an opportunity to be a part of that. Let's have that mentality if we want to secure a remnant. Because Jesus came to die. We want to multiply. If not, we will not progress. And then thirdly, we see this mission, this preservation of life, escapes a famine. It escapes a famine. As we see there in verse 6, "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors." Joseph had the understanding that, listen, I am here because there's a famine. I had foreseen this. We have planned for it. We have enough. And in fact, as you read on in chapter 45, he's going to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to give him this land of Goshen to bring his family down. And there in Egypt, the nation of Israel would kind of be incubated for a while, and it would begin to grow until the slavery and the bondage begins to happen. And then God would send forth Moses to see the great Exodus and see his people pulled out towards the promised land. It's all a part of the story that's going to lead to the cross. And this escaping of a famine is all a picture of the deliverance that we're going to see come through Jesus Christ. I want you to escape the famine. I want you to escape the hard times. Folks, today, this Christmas, there's many people that are in a spiritual famine. There's many people that are dry. They're seeking all that they can. They're searching all they can. They're trying all that they can. But everything seems to fail because they're in a spiritual famine. And they need an escape. They need a deliverance. And you know what? God has given us a mission. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn and look at this. And be reminded of what we are as His believers and what we should strive to do. Many out there are looking to escape this famine, and this is what God has intended for those that know Christ to do, is to help provide this deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's begin in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are His ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There in verse 18, we see what Paul says to us, that He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That escape from famine, that deliverance that Joseph saw for his brothers, for his line, for his family, was one day going to come in the form of the Word of God incarnate. When that baby was brought before us to be the light to the world, to be this preservation of life, that He might come, that we might have life more abundantly. And this one is going to come and to die for our sins, who's going to be made to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. And this is the ministry of reconciliation through Christ that God has allowed us to be an ambassador of. Now, are you a good ambassador or a bad ambassador? Are we a good ambassador for this mission, a good ambassador showing the ministry of reconciliation? You know what the ministry of reconciliation says? It doesn't allow us to walk around this earth pompous with our heads held high, that we are better than anybody else, but it helps us to walk around with a broken heart to see those that need a Savior who has saved us just like has happened in our heart and life. The ministry of reconciliation helps people to escape that spiritual famine. You see, Joseph saw this mission, and this word sent is really what we're keying off to today. That this was a dispatch, that this was a mission that he saw, that God put him there for that particular reason, that particular purpose. You know what's interesting is Joseph's brothers really had a hard time believing him even after this. I mean, would you believe it? He's telling us not to be angry, but man, he's waiting. And I tell you what, when Dad goes away, he's going to get us. He's going to take us. He's going to pull us all down here to Egypt. Dad's going to die. Then what's going to happen? And that was their fear. Because in Genesis chapter 50, it says in verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they say, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. Almost like a dream that Joseph had. But then look at these words of Joseph. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The ministry of reconciliation. When we come to this Christmas season, let's remember that we have an opportunity to share in the mission. God sent, and now here we are, his ambassadors. And we have an opportunity to send too. We have an opportunity to be the salt and the light that He commanded us to be. To be that preservation, to be that agent that helps to keep life on this earth. When it's easy for us to look around at the situations and it's easy for us to get confused and distracted and back and forth, let us refocus on the fact that God has sent His Son for a mission. And if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now an ambassador. And we have a mission as well. You know what's interesting? If you think about it, what Christ told us about salt, He said, if salt has lost its savor, what good is it? But to be trodden under the foot of men. You understand, without the work of preservation, we will rot. Without the work of preservation, we will rot. For example, my in-laws just recently had a big trouble. They had a travel trailer on Lake Fork, and they had put some fish. My father-in-law had gone on a couple fishing trips, guided trips on Lake Fork with his dad, and caught a bunch of crappie. They filleted them up. We had gone catfishing. We had caught a bunch of catfish. We filleted them up. Man, we were ready for a big fish fry. I mean, there was a good amount of poundage of fish that were in that freezer of that travel trailer. They had been gone several weeks. They get a call. You need to come check out your travel trailer. There's a smell. They opened the door and the freezer had gone out. And for 2 weeks, that fish had been rotting. You know what? The preservation agent quit. And what happened? It began to stink. You ever stop to think that maybe this world's stinking because the church has forgotten it's the preservation agent? That we've made it more of our clubs, more of what we want, versus being the salt in the light in the mission that God meant us to be. When we get to this Christmas, let's remember that that baby came to preserve life. And now we are His ambassadors. And God wants to send us. Because if we don't, it's going to rot. It's going to stink. And it's going to get worse. But you know what? We can show people Jesus. Shall we stand? Their heads bowed and our eyes closed. As we come to this time of response, I want you just to peer in your heart and ask yourself, God, what are you saying to me today? How do you want me to respond today? As we think about this season and understanding that heaven sent for us His Son at the fullness of time, that He might redeem us. He might adopt us as sons, that He might make us an heir of God. I pray that we would have that same mission on our hearts and lives today. I pray that that would fuel our giving so that we might change the world through missions, both internationally, both there in Normandy, France. And not only that, I pray that it would change our hearts, so that we would be an ambassador for our neighbor. That we would take the ministry of reconciliation that's been given to us to somebody else. We wouldn't worry about what culture thinks about Christians, and we'd show them what Jesus means to us. And that there is a ministry of reconciliation. This Christmas, let's remember that Jesus was heaven sent, and not only that, but there's a mission for us too that's heaven sent in our lives. To be an ambassador. To think like Joseph thought. So we can help people escape a famine. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, work now in this invitation. This is your time. Help us, Lord, to respond as you would have us to do. There's someone that needs to know your salvation and your forgiveness. I pray today that they would come. Lord, if there's someone that needs to come to this altar and just give it to you, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the courage to move for you. Lord, wherever we are here in this sanctuary today, I pray that our hearts would be bowed before you. God, that we would understand the mission before us. To do what you've called us to do, to be your ambassador. And God, I pray that you would move as only you can, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.